When I'm with my family and I get introduced to their friends or even my friends, a few of my older brothers will always introduce me in something of this matter. This is my baby brother, Brendan. And there's always a pecking order adjustment, right? Number one. But it's also a term of endearment, right? But inevitably, the conversation will come around about, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, this is my, oh, he's a priest, this, and then there's like, yeah, no, he's my baby brother. I guess, you know, I'm taller, I'm better looking. But part of it is that, you know, the way brothers do this, right? I want to peck you, make sure you're the youngest. But what's funny is the conversation will eventually turn around, so you've been, bro, you know each other. And then eventually there will always be some line that will come and says, yep, I've known him since the day he was born. And you, that kind of sits with me. And I was like, wow, that's right. And then one of my brothers said, yep, I was there when he came out. I was there. I know when it happened. I can remember. And he's my older brothers, right? Much older. And so I always think it's really powerful. I mean, there's not a lot of people in our lives that can say that. I mean, if you've got a large family like me, you got a little more than usual. But usually it's uncles and aunts. And oftentimes, you know, once our parents die, then our uncles and aunts, there's just few who can say it. There's lots of people who can say they know you a long time. But there's very few who can say, I've known you since the day you were born. There's one who can say even better than that. There's one who can say, I knew you since before you were born. And that's your mother. Mother knew you, and I remember my mom saying this, I knew you before you were born. I could feel you inside of me. And it's just something profound. I think that's why when a mother dies, there's such a huge loss, because nobody in the world can know you like your mother. Nobody. And they've known you all your life and before. Except, well, maybe one more person. God. God knew us even before we were in our mother's womb. God knew us when we were in our mother's womb, and God has always known us. And that's what he tells Jeremiah. When Jeremiah is resisting his call to be a prophet, he says, oh, what are you talking about? I have known you in your mother's womb. I have chosen you, and I have known you and will always know you, and I have been with you, and I will always be with you. Nothing will ever change. Like, he's nervous. He's been asked to do something big. It's a prophecy of doom. It's not exactly an easy job. And God is assuring him that he, and in the most intimate way, that he loves him personally, by name, and calls him. Now, we believe as Catholics and Christians that God knows every one of us by name. He knows every single one of us, or as Brendan, or Paul, or Mary, or Philip, or Joaquin. Every one of us is known by our name. And today we're going to say that God knows Mason, this newly baptized, by name, and has called him for some greatness. And he says that to every single one of us, and that he loves us through and through. And this love, this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He goes on about love. Now remember, this is not a sappy love. This is a love that is meaningful. It's self-sacrificing love. And he goes into specifics of what it does. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures. Lasts forever. It is not arrogant. It is not self-indulgent. Love, in the end, he says, is self-sacrificing. And the preeminent example of this love is Jesus' love for us. He hasn't got this sappy love for us. He died for our sake. So to be very clear that this isn't, I love pizza, I love football, I love the Rams, I love the Patriots, whatever. It's not that type of love. It's the love that I am going to give myself for the better for you. Whatever it is that is right for you. That's a self-sacrificing love. And Paul goes on, he really digs deep at this. He says, if you aren't of this type of love, you're nothing but a noisy clang. You could prophesy, you can heal, you can do all these great things, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. He says, you're a noisy clang, an instrument that's out of order, that's not part of the harmony. Now think of it. Do we use our God-given gifts in that order? Do we use our God-given gifts with love? It's a tough question. This self-sacrificing love requires of us to think hard and to dig deep about how is it that we are in this world, and do we give of ourselves to others for the sake of others? Because in the end, love is the only thing that endures. Love is the only thing that lasts forever. Everything else goes away. My mom is dead, my father is dead, but my love for them has never died, and theirs for mine. That's a reality, right? So the question then is, how are we doing on this loving enterprise? This hard work, this hard choice of choosing to love. That is the cornerstone of Christian discipleship. It requires an active choice to choose to follow Christ by loving others. And the example is Christ. Now, I get it. It's not easy. And in fact, when Jesus comes along, you see what he does in his own hometown. They want to throw him headlong over the cliff because it's too much. You can't love like that, they say. That's ridiculous. That's absurd to love the most extreme in society, those who are broken, those who are wounded. And Jesus says, no, this is what we come to do. And that is a hard message. So the question then for us, how well are we doing on this enterprise of love, this hard work of love? Because that's our question we need to ask ourselves every single week when we come to this Eucharist. Is it, how well am I doing on this? And to be honest and say, there's lots of opportunities we've missed. We've said things that we know are not loving. They're not kind. And we've done things that are far from it. And maybe we've said things that nobody else has heard except maybe one other person. Or maybe nobody else has except God. We know that in our hearts we've said it. But that's the reason why we start every liturgy by asking God, forgive us our sins, because now we're going to start over. And that's the work we do here today. And that we promise to do that. And that's what we're going to welcome this baby Mason into, is this enterprise, this hard work of loving one, of self-sacrificing ourselves for others. So so understand, love never stops, but neither does the work of love ever stop, which means we got to continue to dig deeper and to continue to work harder at loving our parents, at loving our children, at loving our siblings, at loving even the stranger, and most especially the one we don't like. The one that is a burr to us. Whether that be a homeless person we don't like to see, or whether that be the person of the other party politically. That's our work, and that is hard work. And that's why we come to Nourish. That's why we come together, because that's what we do together. So today, we are assured that faith, hope, and love is great, but the greatest is love, and that's what we come to do.